You got your Bible this morning, I'm going to read one verse. It's hard for y'all to believe that. Now, have y'all heard that we have a satellite orbiting Saturn? Oh, it was a big deal on the news. They were talking about it. And they showed how big the planet of Saturn is. And how many Earths would fit inside of it. They told how far it was away and how many days and months it took for the satellite to get there. And then they were excited and bragging about how they only missed the calculation by 1 second. And then they said in 2018, this thing's going to continue to circle and gather data, and then it's going to crash into Saturn. And they were all excited, and they were looking at their accomplishment and what they've done. And I began to sit there as I watched, and I thought, I wonder if God would be impressed. Wow. That's just what crossed my mind. And a verse of Scripture come to my mind in Genesis chapter 1, verse 16, in the latter part of the verse. Says, He made the stars also. Now, for man, it might be a big feat. But you know, the book of Daniel tells us that in the last days, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge will be increased. But I want you to remember, He made the stars also. If you got your Bible this morning, I want to try to preach on this subject, on a treasure hid in a field. But the primary title that I want to use is, What Does It Mean to You? What does it mean to you? And I was sitting this week and these thoughts come to my mind and I begin to study. And of course, like I often do, I say, well, God, I shouldn't do this. Are you sure, God, you can give me a message off of that verse? But I want to read this verse to you. Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. It says, Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth the field. I want to read that one verse again. Says again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Now, I first want us just to look at this story and just review this story. It's a very simple little story. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like, and what it gives you the picture of is a man that goes out and he's surveying a field. And if you've ever went out and looked at property to buy it, or if you've really ever went out and looked at anything to buy it, he's surveying the field. He's walking up and down in it, maybe walking a property line, maybe he's walking through it. And as he's walking through the property, he finds a treasure that someone has hid in that field. They've buried it there perhaps years ago, perhaps in time. And as he finds it, it's like he knows nobody knows that it's there. Well, when maybe, and it could be like this, if you're walking along and you kick something and you feel it under your feet. How many of you have seen them on the beach out there early in the morning? We were up there, you know, seeing my daughter, and there was a guy, he had his little thing in front of him, and he was walking along. All of a sudden, he stopped, and he had a little sift and a shovel, and he went to digging. And we watched him from a distance. In just a minute, he come up with a ring, and he just slipped that thing right in his pocket and went on. So here's the man. He's surveying the field. He finds a treasure, and he hides the treasure until he can buy the field. Maybe he just kicks the leaves of the dirt back over the treasure. And then he goes and he sells everything that he has. The scripture says he takes and selleth all that he hath. And he gathers all that he has together and he returns and he buys that field. Now, can you imagine doing just that? Have you ever looked at something and when you saw it, you said this, I've just got to have it. I've just got to have it. I mean, there have been those times in my life. And I can tell you, looking back, I can remember when I was a teenage boy or young man, young men. I tell you what I wanted. I wanted a four-wheel drive. I have taken my mama's station wagon to places I'm glad she doesn't know. But I can remember all I wanted, if I said, oh, I just that's all I wanted, was a four-wheel drive. Then I come along and I can remember when the cars came out that I really liked. Y'all remember the Buick Grand National? When the black one came out, it had the 3.8 V6 in it, iron block, and they said it would outrun a Corvette. In my mind, I thought if I had that car, I would never, ever want another car in my life. If I could just get that thing. You know, come along a little later, and I was looking for a wife. And I can remember going down to Harper's Lake Baptist Church, and I went in there, and I'm just going to be honest, this is just the truth. I didn't go to serve the Lord. I was looking. I went to every church in Paulding County trying to find my wife. You know why? Because I saw her one time. They come down to the church that I was going to, and she had a boy with her. And I thought, I'm going to find out more about her. I went everywhere. I couldn't find her. And I went in this little church, and they were having a revival. And her family was notorious for coming in late. I heard the door open. I looked around, and there she come. And I put the Lord on her. Next time I saw her, he wasn't with her. God works in mysterious ways. But have you ever seen something and you say, when you see it, I've just got to have it. For some people, it's a box of gold. When some people think about heaven, it's the streets of gold that they want to see. Some people would rather have that box of gold. But you know, some people, it's that truck. Some people, and you fill in the blank, you can say, if I only had, what would it take? What would it take if you only had for you to be willing to give up all? This man found something in this field, whatever it was, that was of enough value to him that he said, I am willing to give up everything to be able to have it. Now, I want to ask you this morning, what do you treasure? And I want to share with you what really brought this to my heart and why I began to think about this message. We played a few songs earlier by the Primitive Quartet singing live in Ashland, Kentucky. You know, I had a pretty rough week this week, and I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes when it's really rough, I'm looking for something to help me. I'm looking for something to comfort me. I'm looking for something to soothe my soul, my mind, my spirit. And I went looking through all the DVDs that we had, and I found some. And I put that DVD in, and I began to play it, and God began to fill the room. And Brother Keith, it's just like turning that TV off and turning on the Spirit of God and letting God minister to you. And I began to watch that video, and I began to listen to that music. And whether you like that kind of music or not, one thing you can say is they worship. They begin to worship, and they begin to lift up the name of the Lord. And then as they fanned through the crowd, I begin to see God's children worship. And sometimes people talk to me and they say, now we're going to go so-and-so. And they kind of like they warn me. Now they're country. Now folks, let me tell you something. You don't have to say that to me. You're not going to find anybody in more country than me. If I could, I'd be dressed in camouflage this morning. But I wear this suit out of respect for this position. That's all. But as I began to scan and they looked at that crowd and I saw those people and they're just plain people. And I'll tell you what the Bible calls them. They're the salt of the earth. And they begin to raise their hands and slip their hand up and praise God. And you'd see a tear run down somebody's face. And I begin to look at it, and it takes me back to the days of family. And of a time when God was first in America. When people were more concerned and more interested in the things of God than they were anything else. And as I looked at that video, and I don't know if you ever do this, there was a yearning in my heart. Do you ever think about the things of God? Maybe think about how it was in the homecomings, the services, and you just get a yearning in your heart for the things of God. And all of a sudden the thought come to my mind, what does it mean to you? And as I began to think about it, I thought about these things. I thought about the fact that Jesus is precious to me. Now I want to ask you something. What do you think about when you think of Jesus? If Jesus is not precious to you, it's very likely that there's something missing in your life. Does the name of Jesus have a special place in your heart? Do you know Him, and do you personally talk to Him? Do you have a relationship with Him that is precious to you? And I'll tell you, if you're newly saved, that's got to grow and it's got to build. But I'll tell you, over a period of time, it's just like she sang the song, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. My relationship with God is different than it was when I was 15. I was learning how to listen to Him, but today I want to tell you that Jesus is precious to me. The things of God are precious to me. Then I begin to think about the church, the family of God. Now, I don't know if this happens to you, but when I ride through the country and I pass by little churches, they're all special. I look at them and I think, I wonder what God's doing there. I wonder what God's family is like there. See, when you think about the family of God, and this is the, ask yourself the question, do you see a bunch of hypocrites? Or do you see God's people? See, when I think about the family of God, I've been around in the Christian way long enough, I know they're not perfect. But I also know enough about what God's calling is and God's work to know that God's called us to love them, to care for them like they are. You know why? Because He loves you just like you are. Well, do you see a bunch of hypocrites, or do you see the children of God? Do you love God's people? Do you know that Jesus taught that if we love Him, we love them? Do you also know that Jesus taught that He loved us? And the way that He loved us is the way that we're supposed to love one another. He said, as I have loved you, you ought also to love one another. Then I begin to think about the Christian way of life. You know, the Christian way of life in America today is something that a lot of people just don't want no part of it. There's a verse in the Old Testament that tells us to go and seek out the old paths. And you know, when you begin to talk that way, a lot of times people say, eh, we need something new. Well, some things are good, new are good. Some things new are not good. Some things old are good. Some things old are not good. But I'll tell you something about the old past that's precious to me. Somebody came up to me this week and they said, you know, we were out here walking through the parking lot and we found wine bottles out here. Can I tell you, there was a time in America when people even didn't come to the house of God. They had enough respect for the house of God that they wouldn't do that. You know, because I want to tell you, He is Lord, He is King, and when He's King of our lives, it affects the way that we live. You know, censorship is something that people vote on. And the reason that it's changed today is because what people are willing to accept today is different than what it was 40 or 50 years ago. I miss the old paths. I miss a time when godliness matters. I miss a time when people's the most important thing in their life were the things of God. And I want to ask you, when you're thinking of this, do the declining values of America trouble you? Do you treasure the peace of God, and do you enjoy the Spirit of God? You see, as I watched that video, it took me back to a time when I've been in those services, and those services like we have here, that we still have, amen? And we can, do you know we still can have them? And I begin to think about how important those things are in our lives and how important it is that we take them and give them to our children. And my heart began to burn. And I thought about this verse of Scripture in Luke 24 and 32. With the disciples, they were walking with Jesus after he was resurrected. And as they walked with him, they did not recognize him, but he began to speak to them. And as he began to speak to them, he expounded to them the word of God. And as they walked, when they recognized him, immediately he wasn't with them. And this is what they said: did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And I got to this point, and that's where this scripture, this one verse, come to my heart about the treasure. You know, if you're thinking about the treasure and the man that went into the field, there are some people, when you talk about the treasure of the things of God, the truth is, they can take it, they can leave it. It's not really that important to them. It's not a treasure. It's just something that they do. Sometimes. Some even consider it a matter of convenience. It's a matter of unimportance. And unfortunately, it's true today that some have decided not to even consider it at all. But when we read Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, where it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field." Here's what I want you to understand. It's not about a treasure hid in the field. This parable or this story is about the kingdom of heaven. And it tells us what the kingdom of heaven is like. And it gives us an analogy of if we're going to receive the kingdom of heaven, what's going to have to happen and what's going to have to be important in our lives. Now here's what I want you to understand. The kingdom of heaven is real. At some point in our lives, we must begin to think about that. I don't know how in the world people go through life and they think that they don't need to do business with God. Every now and then you run into someone. It's one thing when I run into someone who's 21 or 22 years old, who think they know everything, that's been educated, that have understanding, that have philosophy down pat, and they want to debate with you about what's important in life. It's another thing when I meet someone who's 50, 60, 70 years old and they have not realized or come to the realization that they need to do business with God because they never know when their last breath is going to be taken. Now this is just blunt, but this is true. You ever talk to somebody and they say, I go to church every now and then. I talked to somebody recently. I can't even remember the last time I went. And you ask them, well, won't you come be with us? Well, I'm thinking about it. You ever thought about this? You can tell them when they're going to come again. It's when you roll them down the aisle. Not straight, but that's true. You see, as a preacher, there's too many times I've had to stand and give an account of somebody that the last time they come was when somebody aided them. You see, the question when we think about this story is not about a treasure in a field. This story is about the kingdom of heaven. And I want to share with you three important things about this treasure. Number one, you must recognize the treasure. You must be able to see the treasure for what it is. And so many times people, it's like the man who would go into the field and he would just about trip over the treasure, but he would walk right over it. It would mean nothing to him because he did not recognize it as treasure. When he looked at it, he saw absolutely no value in it. It's like the story or the saying, what is junk to one person is treasure to another. And somebody shared a story with me recently about cleaning out an attic. They get up into that attic and they begin to pull out all the things that are in there from 100 years of a family passing down to the next generation. And the next generation comes, and by this time the house, they don't think it's livable. The things in the house are unimportant. They pull the things down. You know what they're looking for? They're looking for things of value so that they can sell it or get rid of it to gain the monetary gain from it. That's why a lot of times, and it's unfortunate but true, but a death in a family will create a split in a family, because all people want is money. They take the things out of the attic and they begin to look at them, and it means nothing to them. And you know what I heard? They carried them over and they just begin to pile them on the burn pile. And they did not know what was in their hands. And this particular story I heard, it said that what they were piling on the burn pile were a stack of Confederate uniforms from the Civil War that had the brass buttons, and there were coats and there were jackets and there were documents and articles that should be in a museum. But when they looked at them, they did not recognize them. Do you know that that's what a lot of people are doing with the things of God? They're thinking it's just old-fashioned. They're thinking it's unimportant. They think it means nothing, but they have no idea the mercy and the grace that God has put right in front of them for them to be able to receive the greatest blessings, but they just can't see it. Why do they not recognize the treasure? But there are so many today that think, that's unimportant. They could take it or leave it. I'll come back to it when it's convenient for me. And some say, well, I don't even want to think about it at all. You must recognize the treasure. The second thing is, you must reach out for the treasure. Do you know that seeing and recognizing is not enough? I talk to people that say, well, I know that I need to make things right in my relationship with God. Knowing that you need to make things right in your relationship with God does not make things right in your relationship with God. You see that seeing and recognizing is not enough. You must do something about it. And I can remember one time there was a man, a particular man in a neighborhood in the church we were going to years ago. Kendra and I, really just very young, first got married, even before I married her. And I would go and I would witness to this man, and I still get him on my heart from time to time, and I pray for him. But I can remember sitting in his living room talking to him, and he admitted to me, I know that I need to make things right with God. He said, you know what he said? I'm just not ready. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He said, well, I do this, and I like to do this, and I'm just not willing to give that stuff up. Then he didn't recognize the treasure. Back to point number one. You see, in this story, the man who found the treasure in the field, he went and he sold all that he had. Everything. In other words, until you get ready to do business God's way, you're not going to do business with God. Because people come to him and they want to come on their terms, and they say, I'm going to keep this and I'm going to keep this, and God, I'll give you that, but keep your nose out of these other things in my life. He's going to be Lord, he's going to be king, or he's not going to be at all. See, you can't just recognize it. You have to reach out for the treasure. You must desire to buy the field. See, some have made a premeditated decision that they're not going to give up anything to come to Christ. I think we're missing something there. We don't come to Christ on our own merit, and we don't come because we're good. We don't go to heaven because we've accomplished anything. But when you come to the Lord, I do believe that you have to come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, and you have to come surrendering consciously that you're going to give and surrender your life to Him. So you must reach out, you must receive the treasure. Now here's what's important about this third one, receiving the treasure, is you must accept it as treasure for you. You see, coming to Christ is a personal relationship with a living God. It's where you come to know him personally. And the Bible tells us that every man should work out his own salvation. And then it says, with fear and trembling. But you must accept it as treasure for you. Now this treasure is unique because it cannot be given or received on behalf of another. And when I think about that, if I could, I guarantee you, I'd give it to people. They'd have it. You know, I thank the Lord that my children have all accepted Christ, and I thank God that he even allowed me the privilege of being able to baptize them. But if you've got one that was lost, wouldn't you take and just put it on them? If you could, you'd take the bottle of salvation and you'd tackle them, you'd trip them, you'd lasso them, you'd hire somebody to get them if you had to, but you'd run up to them and you'd pour it over their head and you'd say, "You saved." But you cannot give it on behalf of another. You must receive it for yourself. And the question becomes then, are you willing to buy the field? See, this man sold all that he had and went to buy that field. Now, I want to tell you something as a Christian, and I mean this with all my heart. I do not feel like I have given up anything to follow Christ. Here's what coming to the Lord will do, and I believe this with all my heart. He'll change you want to. He'll change your desires. He'll give you better friends than the ones that you thought were your friends. He'll give you something better. And here's what the devil does. All that the devil has is a counterfeit for what God has for you. It's a counterfeit. And if he can keep you to believing that you're right where you need to be, that there's nothing better, you'll never come to God, and you'll never realize that what God has is better than anything that the devil has. Because the devil is a liar, he's a deceiver, and what he wants you to do is not buy the treasure, because he's convinced you that that handful of rags that you have is enough to sustain you, and it's simply not. Folks, the Bible teaches us that godliness with contentment is great gain. You study about the life of Paul, and he says, "I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to be abased." It's like this. "I've learned how to sit with poor people." You ever went to eat dinner with poor people? I remember one time when I was just a teenage boy, we went up to Saltville, Virginia. Two families in a 72 Ford F-150, and we were, half of us was in the back of it, and we got up there in this little town. All that they had there was pulpwooding and sawmill. That was all you did. And the family that we went to see, what they did for a living is they cut wood. Now, we went to church while we was there. Went into a little church. They had the windows open on both sides and big 9-over-9s. And by every bench up front where the deacon sat, Brother Billy, there was a spittoon. But I don't tell you, they started singing them songs and picking them guitars and rejoicing. And you couldn't have told none of them they were poor, because they were rich in the things of God. We went back to their house, and you know what we eat? We eat what they eat. And they tried to pull enough together to feed everybody. And when you sit down and you blessed it and you sit down to eat it and you thank God for it, it means something when God's in the midst. I had a guy this week, we were going to lunch and we got in the car and we were going down the road, and I said, "Where y'all want to go?" He said, "Anything sounds bad to me. I eat out every day." That's a problem with America today. You know, the Bible says that the full soul loatheth the honeycomb. When you see the things of God as a treasure, and walking with God as a treasure, it won't take everything in the world to satisfy you. Because what people are missing today is they're missing the peace of God, and they're trying to fill and satisfy the peace of God with all the things the world has, and they don't have any contentment, no matter how big their house is, no matter how much money they make, because they're not right with God. They don't have peace with God. They don't rejoice in the things of God because they've walked over the treasure that God has. I thank the Lord that I grew up in a house where I learned that. My daddy taught me work ethic, and I worked with him when I was young. He said, son, if you agree to work for a man for 50 cents an hour, you give him a full day's work. If you're making $50 an hour, you give him a full day's work. Now, I thought about maybe it's because he was paying me 50 cents an hour. But he taught me that. Then I'd come home and we'd sit down at the table every day. Mama had food on the table. There wasn't always meat on the table. But there was dried beans and there was fried potatoes. There was homemade biscuits. There was sliced tomato. Now y'all are drooling. Y'all hungry? You know, today we go to Longhorn and we're not satisfied because we've eaten it three times this week. I want to tell you, when we recognize how important the things of God are and get our focus back right, we'll be able to sit down and eat a Spam sandwich and thank God for it. But our treasures are not what they need to be. Are you willing to lay down what you want for what God wants? Are you willing to put God's will before your will? Sometimes when troubles come at me, I've come to the point I just look for God. Every storm, every trial, every burden, every phone call that doesn't go exactly the way I want it, I look for Him. Because I really do want Him to be my number one treasure. This is the last point. What happens when you reject the treasure? People do it, and they're doing it every day. When you reject the treasure, it leaves you eternally destitute. See, when you reject Jesus and reject the kingdom of heaven, what are you getting in return? You know, I don't know, sometimes I wonder why would anyone reject Christ? For what? So I'm just not willing to sell all. What are you getting in return? You ever stop and think about that? See, I believe with all my heart I have a home in heaven. God's blessed me here. But I'll tell you where my greatest blessing here lies. It's in having peace with God. See, I've come to the point I'm full circle now. I don't buy a truck unless it's four-wheel drive. And I got three of them. I got so many four-wheelers, we can't park in the garage. Matt Runyon says I'm a dealer. And I've got those things. You know, Brother Tommy, I had three sets of golf clubs. I've reduced that. Just one. But I've got those things. And you've got those things. And God has blessed you. And God has poured out His mercy and His goodness on you. But I want to ask you something. Would any of it mean anything to you if you did not have peace with God? Somebody here this morning needs peace with God. And I want to ask you about this treasure in this field. Here's the question. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to you? What does worship? What does Jesus? What do the people of God? What does the kingdom of heaven mean to you? Now, I want to ask them to come with a song, and I'll say this. Altars of this church are always open. And you can come down here, and you can kneel, and you can pray, and you can do business with God, or you can go home and you do business with God. But I tell you, when you do business with God, it's when God's knocking on your door. You know why we ought to come together like this, and we ought to surround ourselves with the people of God? You know, I love to worship God. I love to be in the house of God. I love to sing about Jesus. I love to preach about Jesus. And I love to be around the people of Jesus. And when I'm here and God speaks to me through His Holy Spirit and I come and I pray, it allows me the privilege coming while he's pulling on my heart. Knowing that somebody who loves me will kneel beside me and pray, lift me up before the Lord, and that I have a God in heaven who will come and meet my needs. I'm going to ask you, if you would, to rise to your feet. God spoke to your heart. This is your opportunity this morning to pray. Most important time in the service is the time that you do business with God.
Lost everything, for the wife who feels betrayed, the child who is afraid, for the home that is broken by the scars of sin and shame, there is hope and there is healing in the power of Jesus' name. Christ, you can be saved. He paid the price. This is the gospel, the gospel of Christ. For the heart that is longing for love, the mind so confused, the one who is abused, for a world that needs mercy and the truth that makes us free, there's forgiveness and cleansing at the cross of Calvary. The gospel, the gospel.
We're going to sing just one more verse of song. And at this time, what we're going to do, we're going to open the doors of the church. And if you're here this morning and you feel like this is a place you want to be, you don't have to join to be on the books. But we'd like for you to come be a part of what we're doing so we can go forward for the honor and glory of God. And everything is done here in my heart, and I really mean this. I want it to be about Him. God spoke to you, and you want to be a part of this body. Or God spoke to you, and you want to pray. We got one more verse.